the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for heavens. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sava. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and each step. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Kridai. Homage to the wisdom in heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry for correcting. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi, tatiampi, sarva. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Thank you. communal end suffering. If anything, suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can help that and end suffering. Reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. So what should we look at this morning? Scott.
So I was talking with a mentor last night, quite a bit, and the topic was that we want to end our secret life.
And by our secret life, I'm guessing a lot of that is the...
Yeah, and the secret life with conditioning.
With conditioning.
Yeah.
Not so much...
That's what secret life means, actually.
Yeah.
No, not with that.
Yeah, because a secret life with a mentor is more like a love affair. Isn't
it? Yeah.
Whereas the secret life with conditioning is a bit like hell.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of started with... basically, I was off property recently, and... there was this kind of time or space opened up, and I didn't expect it necessarily. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I just made a decision about what to do with that. Uh-huh. And then I did communicate about it later, but not really from an awareness perspective, just, I don't want to feel bad about this. Uh-huh. And so I got some guidance back that basically was, you colluded with ego.
You colluded with ego.
You made this kind of unilateral decision, and just kind of encouragement to look to see. At least that's how I took it. How this is probably going on for me all the time.
So, yeah, because very likely it doesn't just happen once in isolation.
Yeah. So I don't even know if that was the guidance, but that's how I've been taking it, and now I've been seeing it kind of all over. All these little secret things that I'm doing, the identification's doing.
Right.
And. Just things like yesterday we had a Holy Week during the afternoon, which we don't normally have on a Saturday, and somebody really wanted to make their mix of practice recordings from the retreat, and then it was just sort of like, well, but it's Holy Week and we don't really use a computer, but Holy Week is usually on a Sunday. On Saturday we can use, so now I'm already in a conversation, and so then there's a. We're gonna do it, but it's kind of not a great thing to be doing. Just don't tell anybody. Yeah. Which is why I'm saying that out loud. And we'll let this one go.
Yeah. Oh gosh, and it's. I'm guessing in the way you lay it out, it's designed to feel like. This is good for me. Like I'm getting something.
Yeah.
From this.
I really need these recordings. It's really helpful.
Right.
I really enjoy it. We can listen to it when we go on a walk.
Right.
Oh, okay, you're going to help me do that?
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a subtle but pernicious place that conditioning hides. Because from a place of innocence and just the assumption is goodness, and the human really wants this to have this mix, then, I would guess, there's just that place of, we'll just communicate about it. You know, just look to see what's so, and then put it out there.
Yeah.
And make yourself available to the guidance, such as the guidance you got, you colluded with ego.
Yeah.
you know, and then you took that on. You know, so that process of getting a piece of guidance and then choosing to use that guidance to see all the other places maybe you suffer with that or conditioning causes you to suffer is such a process of freedom.
Yeah.
It's such a turning to life instead of that, I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to get that feedback, and so I'm going to hide out. I'm going to hide out.
Yeah. Well, and it's the, and I just see how much I own, how much I still identify that I'm ego.
Right.
Because there's a lot of it for me is I want people to look at its self-image. I want people to see me in a certain way. So don't let them, tell
us
about that.
Right.
We'll work that out with the mentor later.
Yeah. Which is so, gosh, boy, it's such a raw deal for the being. Because in that case, what he wants is to make a playlist of his recordings from the retreat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not like talking about sneaking M&Ms down at the, or, you know, killing the whatever, right? And so in being talked into hiding it, it takes sort of a very likely a desire of the heart and turns it into something that can be torture.
That's where we got to last night. I'm like, wait a second.
This is crazy.
You know, and then I realized it doesn't really matter what the content is. It just wants me in a place of, I mean, it seems like there's just still this belief that getting what I want is really important, no matter what it is, a playlist or M&Ms.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of feels like it says to me, you know, practice is great, and it, you know, you're getting a lot of your needs met that way, just by letting go to life. But there might be times where that's not going to work out, and so really, just why don't you keep me around?
Yeah,
is kind of how it feels, and that feels kind of believable based on a lifetime of looking to it to survive a world it's making up as something that needs to be survived.
Yes, yes. Precisely. And even that place of kind of, well, practice is great, you know, you're getting your needs met, is still sort of a looking at it within that same paradigm.
Yeah.
I'm an I who has needs that need to get met.
Totally.
Right? And practice is an avenue for getting those needs met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just looking at ways to work at that, I think what I heard you say earlier, and at least this is what came up around the, making that playlist yesterday, is just practicing turning to guidance, and those as soon as it starts up, and you can just feel it. There's tension, there's queasy. You know, it's always something about something about getting in trouble or making the right decision, and just making a wholehearted effort to get on the recorder. Because what I saw yesterday was, well, why don't you just take a minute and get on with the mentor about this?
Right.
And I ran right over that.
Yeah.
Because time was running out, and we were all, we'll just get it
we
done.
We can't do this 5-minute recording. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to get it done, because you definitely, once it's 5:30 and you can't use the computer, it's and that's that edge where it just still feels like, I mean, it probably was true I wouldn't have got it done at that time, but it's like, well, what's more important here?
Absolutely.
Practicing turning to guidance or, you know, something I can do on Tuesday afternoon.
Exactly.
You know?
And that I project anyway, that place of integrity and listening to, you know, what we sometimes call the still small voice, you know, listening to that, well, how about you just check in with the mentor? You know, and actually going forward with that is what we truly want.
Yes.
And that, if we can use the word satisfy, satisfies in a way that the content, in this case the playlist, never will.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, you know, one good thing I do want to notice in terms of the training is that I did go to the mentor later.
Exactly.
You know, and I kind of just, you know, it was 5:30, went to the sit, and it's just like, man, you know, he deserves better than that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so we just went for a walk, and I could just feel how recording and listening is just so critical in that process of training the attention to leave that conversation with the survival system and move into life. I mean, the whole body just opened up and responded, and it was like, oh, I'm life again. You know, it's back. You know, it's just, I mean, and it was after a 5-minute conversation.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's that place of it's never too late.
Yeah.
And there are no mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so all of that afternoon leads to this one, as soon as you wake up, turning to the mentor, can we call any of that wrong or a mistake? No.
Yeah.
You know, no. It's all part of the process of waking up.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say out loud, ending that private life with conditioning and be hopefully using group quite a bit to do that, to out those things that it's trying to keep quote private.
Yeah, and all the guidance avenues, you
yes,
know?
Yes.
So when we're in a position where, you know, maybe we it's a time when we don't have our normal communication structures available to us and there's some decision to be made, getting on the recorder with the mentor, making the best decision that seems right in the time, and then communicating. Okay, FYI.
That's the deal.
You know?
Communication in all forms, all the time.
Yeah. Thank you. Renee, can folks down there hear?
Yeah, that was really helpful. I was looking at something similar this morning, and it is where, like, you're doing something, and so I have a goal to go to bed at a certain time, say, and I make a choice to do something else, but it's unconscious.
Right.
You know, so I just either keep working or I go do something fun or whatever, and I'm not there to really, you know, pay attention to, okay, I had this goal of going to bed at a certain time.
Right.
And
so it's not a conscious choice of, okay, I'm aware that that time is approaching, but I'm going to choose to do this thing instead. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's like unconsciously you're making these decisions, or I'm making these decisions, colluding with conditioning, and then the goal just gets completely forgotten until the next morning or something. You're like, wait a minute.
It's when something handily reminds you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to someone about falling in love with that practice of being there for when those, before those unconsciousness things happen, you know, those choices that you fall in love with the process of wanting to be there for it, you know, or being there for it, watching how this arises, that arises, I could go do that, I could go do that. And there's a difference between doing it unconsciously and doing it, okay, I had this goal of going to bed tonight at 10 o'clock, and so now I can do this or not.
Right.
And you're in that place of, okay, what conversation am I having with conditioning right now that's talking me out of what I want to do for the person?
Yes.
And it's just, I was just marveling at at how lovely it is to be in that place, even if you go with conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because you didn't have the choice, and it's even better when you don't, and you're, and you know, you're
right.
It's just, there's all these little pieces of it that when you're really paying attention, it, it's just, it's like getting a massage or something. You know, you're just like, so, oh gosh, I'm here for it, you know. And even after you make the decision, sometimes going back, like was just talked about, and talking to the mentor, it's like that well-being feeling again.
Yeah.
You know, that, oh, okay, I see how that happened. Where was I when that happened?
Yes.
And that was what was going on, and I was doing that and talking to conditioning about that. And, you know, and it's just so, it's such a process.
Yes.
You know, it's such a process to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're there for it, when we're conscious for it, either way, we could say that the karma is being worn away, in a sense.
Yes.
You know, because whatever the decision is, if we're truly there for it, and if it really was a collusion with conditioning, if we keep cultivating that process of being there for it, it's only a matter of time before we stop wanting to make that decision.
Yes.
Because that decision doesn't serve us at all.
Right.
And over time, we'll see that. So it's so relaxing in a way, that process. We don't have to, you know, use will or, you know, force ourselves or, you know, anything like that. It's just a compassionate process of really, really paying attention. And at least in my experience, over time, we want to make the decision that serves the heart. Why would we not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And that's what happens with the practice of doing it and paying attention to all those little steps that that are there. You know, like, I even benign things, like, you know, so where was I when I put the glass in the plate cabinet? What was I talking about in my head that I didn't notice that I did that?
Yes.
You know, even that kind of stuff is like really fun to play with.
Right.
Just to see where, what was the conversation?
Yeah.
You know, was I thinking about, you know, Kevin going to college, or what was I thinking about?
Right.
You know, that I wasn't there for that glass.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is so fun. And, you know, meditation is kind of the micro laboratory for that, right? Because there's counting the breath. And then knowing that the attention's going to get pulled off.
Yeah.
And can we see the moment that that's happening, right?
Yeah.
And so often it's, you know, counting and then going, oh, wait, it happened again.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the little, okay, let's see again.
Yeah.
So then it becomes watching for that little moment when it just starts to switch from counting to something else.
Yeah, it's just, and when the feeling bad falls away.
Yeah, exactly.
And the judgment isn't there, and it's just in love, you know, and you're just doing it for fun, in a sense. And, but it's changing your whole life at the same time.
That's handy.
Yeah.
Fun and changing your whole life, transforming are the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you don't feel bad anymore, and it's just, oh, that isn't me. That's that thing that's drawing me in.
Yeah.
It's just, it can really, that's when you fall in love with it.
Exactly.
Is at that place.
Yeah.
And the adventures in scheduling that I'm having still. So I was playing with this thing where, I'm doing pretty good at sticking to the scheduling. And change, and then writing things down for the future days and all of that, and just, you know, it's sort of addicting when you start to do it.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then watching when I don't finish something, how much I want to stay with it and finish it.
Yes.
And then when I go, and then there's this whole thing that comes over about how you're never going to get it all done.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything, and you know, and all of this, and you know, it's just this big, like, dark cloud over me, and, you know, but really trying to practice those, doing a little bit of everything each day versus trying to do it all as one great big project.
Yeah.
And so I received some guidance to stay with the energy, not the story, but the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. I started staying with the energy and dropping that story and watching how. And when you do that, when I started to do that, I could see all of those little conversations going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of those little things that were trying to get me in that story and that conversation so that I would not follow the schedule.
Uh-huh.
Not do the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, everything collapses when you stay with the story. And when you stay with the energy, everything just flows with life.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing.
Yeah, it's a version of the process we were just talking about, isn't it? That
going
with the story is the equivalent of not seeing how we get pulled away from the breath or how the glass ended up in the plate cabinet. Not seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But in staying with the energy, that's another way of staying present to it.
Right.
And when we're present, then we just do what there is to do instead of staying up in that story of what there is to do. Like, oh God, let me just finish this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such good training, right? Such good Zen training. Because we talk about, you know, the cleanup bell rings. Stop. Yeah. Time to clean up, no matter what. Which is, you know, the moment of death. Mm-hmm. Let me just finish this one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's such good practice of, okay.
It's really
the schedule
good.
Says this.
Yeah.
We do this.
That's right. And so just that schedule being the vehicle or instrument of awakening to help to watch what you do
with
each of those pieces of content, because that's basically what's on the schedule is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, eat, prepare food, you know, work a little bit, you know, exercise, go to the grocery store, you know, all those are the contents of life, you know.
Yeah.
And scheduling out the fun too, and then you know, go to the movies or do whatever. And, and then you watch how process change, you know, you can do one process with all that content, or you can do another process with all that content. So that's really great.
It is really great. It really gives us a backdrop against which to see how ego is pulling the strings.
Thank you.
Good.
Well, I want to talk about communicating with my family. But first I just want to say that that first conversation about the secret life with man, I can so relate to that experience. And I actually saw a ton about that recently and talked with a mentor a bunch on the recorder about it, just how it's just so ugly that here's this guy, I mean, in my experience, the way it works is here's this guy who works so hard.
Right.
And he's so good.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Right.
You know, it's like 99.99% of the time, he is just with life and doing the best he can.
Yeah.
And gosh, it's just great. And then he kind of gets talked into, well, you've been trying so hard and being so good.
Right.
You deserve this little indulgence. And you're so good that probably no one would ever expect that you would. So he usually gets away with it, too. But, I mean, but the thing is that the thing that's so ugly about that is, so there's that one little behavior
right.
that happens rarely,
right.
but it's enough to erase
yep.
all of the goodness.
Yep.
It's just all
because at the core, yeah. if people knew how you really are.
Yeah, yeah. And even regardless of how he might appear to others, he knows inside because exactly. the voice has pointed out that he is not trustworthy.
Yep.
And I'm just so clear on that.
Yeah.
And I just so got that, like, that does nothing for me.
Nothing.
I mean, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And like you were just talking about in the last discussion, how the process of seeing through that and letting it go is so compassionate.
Yes.
It's not like I'm a bad person for that, right. having had that experience.
Right.
It's just that I get to see it in conscious compassion awareness over yep. and over.
Yep.
And as I see it, it's just so clear, like, it does nothing for the heart.
Yep.
It does nothing for me. I don't want that.
No.
I don't
it's just that. Information about how ego operates.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, because, you know, as you lay that out, that thing about, you know, you work so hard, and I would bet from my own experience that in his experience, it isn't hard work. That's the process of participating in life, where he gets what he actually wants. And then ego comes in to call it hard work.
Oh, yeah.
You've been working so hard. But from the perspective of the human, what do you mean I've been working hard? This is play.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Right.
You know?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, that's totally my experience.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Because that goodness just feels good. It just flows effortlessly out.
Yeah.
So the thing I see about my family is so good. Gosh, it's just amazing. So I've been communicating with my family via letter once a month. It's the kind of thing that I set up for myself here. And I so look forward to hearing from them. Because I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, yeah, it's great. And I got this letter like a few days before the retreat started.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, oh, I'm so excited. I got a cup of tea and I sat down and I read it. And like, it was like the heart read the letter.
Uh-huh.
And it was totally lit up. And a split second behind it, ego interpreted the letter.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
It was horrible.
Wow.
It was just miserable.
Huh.
And it took things that people said.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took things that people didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And turned it all into horrible criticism, judgment,
mm-hmm.
hatred, mm-hmm. abandonment,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just for some examples, like my uncle, he was jokingly saying that when you break out of Buddha prison, we'll have a barbecue for you, you know?
Right.
And there was just like, it was so classic. It was like seeing through the ego filter. That's like, he disapproves of what you're doing, he's discounting, you know, blah, 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 he's blah, blah, blah,
right.
and all this kind of stuff. And when I stepped back and I looked at it from a bigger perspective, from a heart perspective, I could just feel the love.
Yeah.
I mean, he was joking.
Yeah.
And I mean, I project for him, if he was in a monastery, he probably would feel like he was in a
monastery.
But I mean, you know, that's not my experience, and it totally doesn't, I mean, it's just not personal.
Yeah.
And my brother, who I have always been really, really close with and care about a ton, I haven't heard from him once for like 6 months or something.
Mm.
And there's been this kind of like, the ego voices wanted to go into. Well, that means that the bond is broken.
Mm.
There is no more love. He hates you.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks you abandoned him. He's abandoning you. Kind of thing.
Right.
And anyway, all that was happening, and that was like, I felt this energy come up, and it was like, so the karmic urge was grab a pen and just start writing.
Yeah.
Set those suckers straight.
Yeah, writing to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank goodness for practice.
Oh,
thank goodness for the mentor who was like, wait.
Are you sure?
You know, and I just got like, and the mentor dropped in immediately. It's like, here's what we're doing. you're not going to write them or even think about writing them for at least a week. Mm. And right now, we're going to two-handed record this.
Yeah, perfect.
Bam, just did that. Process it, got it all out. The guy that felt all those feelings, let it all rip, and then mentoring, and kind of got to, like, loosen some of the parts that were all clamped down.
Yep.
And then over the course of the week, just giving it time and space, boy, especially in an incredibly powerful retreat like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just completely, like, fell apart.
Wow.
And yesterday I was just walking around in this sweet, open, innocent joy that I see the world with the eyes of the child and willing, happy, happy to be here. Life is good. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the letter. And absolutely everything was different. Wow. Absolutely everything. I saw every different thing that people said as pure love.
Wow.
And then I saw even my brother's not writing, his silence, I saw that as pure love. Mm. I mean, it occurred to me that I'm in this story about what that means, but is that so?
Right, exactly. I
mean, like, how on earth do I know that?
That's right, it's
absolutely just as likely that he is totally feeling that love and connection. Yeah. That he really wants that, you know, perhaps, I mean, it's just one potential explanation, but he really wants to say something important and profound, and he's trying to find the words, and he's had this really busy life, raising kids, building a new house, and all this stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just as likely.
Yeah.
I chose yesterday, well, since I don't know, and that's just as likely, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, exactly. Since we can make it, we make it all up anyway. Okay, might as well.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was the experience.
Yeah.
I saw that, so ego, seeing through the dark glasses, sees the whole experience with the family. It's divisive, people are judgmental, criticism, and the whole family splitting apart, and I'm feeling angry and upset, and I just take those glasses off, put on the other glasses, and it's a big, happy, beautiful family. There's a ton of love. There's no problems. And it's like, I mean, it's that easy.
Yeah.
If I am making it up, how about making up what I choose? And it actually, it's not like Pollyanna make-believe.
Right.
It's like, when I choose that different perspective, it actually is different.
That's right.
In real life, it's different.
That's right. That's actually the experience.
Totally.
Yeah.
For me, and I project for everyone else.
Right.
Which is that, like, whoa, how...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's one of those, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Is it just that that's the only experience that I'm having, so that's what I project everywhere. But it does feel like it has that ripple effect, doesn't it?
Totally magic, yeah. And just the last thing that I saw was, like a couple months ago, I was seeing this thing, I think I talked about it in a group, about how ego's always doing this projection thing where it sees other people and it sees their positive qualities and characteristics. But then it always follows with, but they love the ball.
Yeah.
And I just saw how, I mean, and like Sherry's talked about it before, anything before the but is canceled out.
Yes.
And whatever you finish with is the message that you get.
That's right.
And I saw how I started playing with just flipping it upside down, just inverting it. And I mean, as simple as that.
They got it up. But they do all these amazing things.
Totally. And then, like, the stuff before, the button is canceled out, and then I'm just left with the positive message. Yeah. That's my experience.
Yeah. Like, that's fun. We could do that with what you started with, right? The .001. You know, he da-da-da, but it's amazing. Every day he shows up in this, and he does this, and he does that, and he does that.
That's it. Yeah. That's. I mean, I'm going to practice with that with everything. It's amazing. It totally works. Completely changed my experience.
Great. Thank you.
I'm just experiencing a lot of gratitude for how the secret life is becoming impossible to keep secret. So this is the most recent experience of it, that I had a guidance appointment where I was in a kind of state of torture where the ego collusion is, it's not that bad. And because I was in a guidance appointment, I couldn't hide it. I couldn't. The story was, the ego interpretation was, it was a disaster. Couldn't you have just pulled yourself together?
The guidance appointment was a disaster.
Because couldn't you have just pulled yourself together and got
and
here?
And put on that cardboard Henry and it doesn't say that. It says, get here.
Yes.
It's so pernicious.
Yes. Oh, it's that we were talking about this on the retreat, weren't we? That that the lie, the ego bamboozle, that when we're here, we should be how it tells us we should be.
Exactly. Yeah. If I'm present, I'll meet all those conditioned standards yes. and be the conditioned person I should be.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes. And so, there was just such gratitude that I got to experience, I got to see the collusion with it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And so I just got on the recorder to say, it is that bad, you know?
Yeah.
That level of torture is that bad.
Yes.
And I think that had I not been in that state in the guidance appointment, I wouldn't have talked about it, because
yes.
that collusion with it's not that bad
yeah.
would have been just
yeah.
In control.
Yeah,
you know?
Unbroken.
Unbroken.
Just kind of that, yeah,
yeah.
constant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not that bad, it's not that bad, it's not that bad, it's not that bad.
Yeah. And if it is, you can't say anything about it
right.
because...
Because what? We don't know.
We
right.
don't know.
I mean, it's just the classic, you know, way to keep someone who's being tortured silent.
Yeah.
It's your fault in some way. It says something about you. It means something about you.
Yeah. And just how the secret life is never secret, is it?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It's
the pig pen thing, right? You know, the pig pen where the energy is just the cloud
oh.
of dust around you. It's so obvious.
Right.
But
yeah, the,
we
like,
think it's secret.
The energetic.
Yeah.
Resonance of
yeah.
it is just so obvious
yeah.
to anyone within
yeah.
10 miles.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we think that we're
yeah. keeping it all in.
Keeping it
pulling it all together.
Together
yeah.
in the center. And it's just blinking obvious to
yeah.
everybody. And,
yeah.
We were talking about that too recently in group, I think, that bamboozle, that what happens in here. What we indulge in here doesn't have an impact.
Uh-huh. So what goes on in the mind doesn't have an impact, quote,
yes.
outside of me.
So, you know, if I want in the comfort of my own home to indulge all of this hatred in here,
mm-hmm.
then that's okay.
Right.
Which isn't the same as that kind of Alan Watts, anything that happens within this bag of skin is okay. That's the kind of life mental perspective
yes.
of that. And then the ego version of that is, it's okay to indulge this hatred because... Nobody, it doesn't affect anything
right.
out
right.
there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's subtle, but
yeah.
you know, you can
but
feel how it's
worlds apart, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. Because in that, you know, anything goes in the bag of skin comes with a great deal of compassion and acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah.
Kind of that acknowledgement that we're human beings,
yes.
you know, we're sentient beings, that all range of things is going to happen. But people, you know, I project where that bag of skin thing comes from is that people then get confused. So then I get to speak my truth, or you know, all those sorts of phrases where, you know, because I have a right to my experience, I can just explode it all over you, right?
Yes.
But instead, there's that possibility of it's all perfectly fine. None of it means anything. There's the ability to work with it in here,
yes.
without that place of not working with it.
Uh-huh.
Which is that place of, you know, oh, it goes on in here and it doesn't have any impact out there. And if it's not dealt with in here, it has a huge impact for everyone else, even if I'm, quote, not acting on it.
Right, right. Just exactly. It's the compassion of allowing it all to be as it is,
yeah.
In acceptance. A humorous name for that bamboozle dropped in, which has been helping, which is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right.
The lie that what yes. happens in Vegas stays in
uh-huh.
Vegas.
Uh-huh.
The myth
lie that.
That.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it doesn't have an energetic impact if I'm
right.
indulging hatred in the
right.
comfort of my own head.
Yeah, boy, there are
discomfort
all
of
kinds of
head.
Metaphors that drop in there that are probably better left
unsaid.
Yeah.
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 But there's just... yeah, such gratitude for that disaster.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it's so true, that place of grace where
mm-hmm.
we can no longer, quote, hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is such a gift to the human.
Such a gift.
When it just gets so whatever that it doesn't work to follow the conditioning system for whatever
exactly.
period of time.
Yeah.
And we're left so beautifully vulnerable
yes.
in that vulnerable to be... for life to reach us.
Yeah. And then somehow we can really start to see the human
exactly.
And move to that place of, you know, we're ending suffering in the one human whose suffering we can actually experience. Mm-hmm. Because when we're in the story of it's not that bad, we're not actually present to the suffering.
When we're present to it, when we get it, it is that bad.
Yeah.
There's such motivation
yeah.
to care
mm-hmm.
and to not. And to not let that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Cameron.
I had an experience similar to that, but just recently had an opportunity to have a guidance appointment during the retreat, and that's kind of a rare experience, and one that I was like wanting to really take advantage of, seeing a lot in the retreat. Coming up with a realization that, I think it's time to really, really get beyond dismantling this relationship with conditions.
Get what? I missed a word.
Really get on.
Got it. With dismantling the...
Like, not picking this little thing over here and this little thing over here and working on these little... But, you know...
Go with the structure, man.
The relationship. Because I was looking at it and realizing that I've basically, for the last 30 years, predominantly lived by myself.
Uh-huh.
Myself.
Uh-huh.
But what I was seeing was that is... a lot of time for ego to have exclusive access to this human being.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, his tentacles are just everywhere. There's not really a clear sense of what's what. You know,
uh-huh.
it's like
uh-huh.
I hear these things that seem really benign, and I'm just going, I'm not sure that's ego, I think.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I have this guy that's and I go in and I have the same experience where actually just, you know, outing ego.
Mm-hmm.
But wanting to talk about the project, right?
Right.
But I'm just like, you know, and afterwards it's kind of like the same feeling, like, God, what the heck? You know, you didn't get the guidance you were looking for, and you're talking about this project, and I thought, wait a minute.
That's the relationship that I'm ending.
The project is dismantling the relationship with ego. And so I spent the time exposing a lot of, what has come up recently with a new project that's really just seemed to go down to the core of the conditioning and just suck it all up and throw it all over the place.
That's a good image.
it's that messy.
Yeah.
And so...
You know, which is so good, Cameron, isn't it? Because we think of it as being that messy, but think how messy it is down there, allowed to do its own thing, untouched by the process of practice.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's always this water's going down really slow, and
yeah.
it's just this whole...
And like Adam's saying, it's not that bad.
It's just
an entire unexamined cesspool completely driving the life.
That's the word I used in the guidance, actually. Cesspool.
Yeah.
And so, and I realized afterwards, well, gosh, you know, that's perfect. If you're going to have that as a project, you might as well start by exposing it.
Yeah, and then, afterwards, when that relationship, when it comes into review, this is a good time to practice not being in that relationship.
Right.
Completely dropping that and going on.
Say that again.
So it's from what you described, so you have the guidance appointment.
Yeah.
And then it comes into review how the guidance, you didn't really.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You had
there's
this whole
the relationship.
Thing. There's a relationship.
Yeah.
And that is the thing, you know, because I had that image when you were first talking of, gosh, it's really time to, instead of just pick at this and pick at this and pick at this, if we end that relationship, all those tentacles disappear like that. No matter where they are, how entangled they are, Well, all the places they've gone.
They can't have any
if there's no relationship, there's no relationship.
Right.
It doesn't matter how entrenched they are.
Right.
So if we cultivate the skill of every time they talk to us, we turn attention away.
Yep.
I mean, that's it right there. And, you know, it wants to talk us into, yeah, but this is your guidance appointment. I mean, this is your chance to really get at the thing, and you blew it, right? But it's like, if I cannot listen to that conversation,
exactly,
I'm home free.
Yeah, it's like an abusive relationship, and you know, you've decided it's over, and they keep coming and banging on the door.
And the threats get higher and higher.
And what?
The threats get higher and higher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I just thought, after I saw that, what was happening, how I made it, I mean, how ego tried to make me feel that somehow I didn't make the appointment work, and I just thought, that's terrible. That's really terrible.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. I mean, that is exactly what it does, and that is somehow, you know, not noticing how stupid it is and how is the whole process and all of
it is, isn't it? You know, I've been looking at that same thing and how it can seem terribly complex and subtle. You know, but I mean, is it that but what about the one over there? And to realize that simple principle. That being in conversation is the thing that creates
suffering. Any conversation. Because sometimes it talks like a nice person.
Yeah, reasonable. You know, I mean, tomorrow, then we'll do this, and then if I could, now don't forget to,
nice, helpful, you know, and any conversation.
And that makes it so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because then, when that's happening, just bring the attention back here. Just focus on the breath. Count the breath. Whatever I'm doing. Doing dishes, sitting in meditation, driving the car, just count the breath. Or come back to, you know, I choose peace and calm. I breathe in unconditional love. I breathe out unconditional, you know, whatever it is that we want to use to bring the attention back here and out of that conversation.
It's kind of exciting, really. Yeah. I mean, it's really exciting, actually. to really sort of start to feel a real desire to do that.
Yes, exactly. Like we were talking about with Renee. Uh-huh. When we pay attention, what's cultivated is that we actually want to do that.
Yeah.
We want to be here more than we want anything else. The illusion that there's something that I'm going to get, aside from just being present, begins to be seen through.
Uh-huh, because when present, there is an experience of nothing wrong.
Exactly.
There's an experience of love and peace and all the things that we would want to have.
Yes.
And you don't have to do anything. You just have to be present. There it is. It's like all magic.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's so delicious. It is just absolutely such a delicious experience, especially from the contrast of what's available, what the other alternative
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
It's like a vacation in the Bahamas instead of going to Siberia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the only way we don't see that is that we're not present, that we live in the idea of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when we're actually present, we realize, wow, it's so obvious which choice I want to make.
And it's just so simple. It's just so, simple. Maybe not easy because we're conditioned to do something else.
Yeah.
But the simplicity of it is just so mind-boggling when it happens. And it's just like, this is waiting here all the time.
Yeah.
It's just here.
Yeah. Yep. It's always here.
Yeah. So, I've been sitting here looking at my secret life and realizing the voice has been saying, you've got this big secret life, blah, 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 you need to expose it in a minute. But look at what it is, and I've said everything about it in this room.
Yeah, that is. So important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And So on the one hand, so it's him, okay, and then it just switched horses.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the only one in here without a secret life. something like that.
Yeah.
And it's also that, and then it said, well, you know, your big secret is you come to group and you talk about these things, and you talk about having to let go of this or that, and within a week it's all back. What? That's you.
Exactly. And no one else has that experience.
But you know, what you should do though is when it all comes back after you profess having let it go, is you need to come back and tell everybody. Tell everybody,
oh,
just shut up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're back to the place Cameron was just talking about, right? Oh, I see. I just need to stop. You do, go have your monologue, whatever, you know, knock yourself out. I'm just going to be here listening to group. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would just say that these same things that I talked about 30 years ago, I could talk about right now, just in the midst of it right now.
Uh-huh.
And but that's all that really needs to be said.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Jen. I was just recording about that, I think it was last night, that lie that when something, quote, comes back, it's as if we've reverted, or we've gone back somehow, or we've, you know, something's wrong, basically. And it's just so not true. It's just so not true. It's, you know, that we often talk about the, I can't think of the word for it.
Spiral,
thank you. Mm-hmm. And it spirals back through, but it's different every time. And at least in my experience, we can only see that over a long period of time. Because the subtleties, I mean, it's impossible to see the awareness that we're having now from how, you know, where I was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, we're only seeing it through the eyes we have now. And it's only every now and then when something happens, we were talking about this in the retreat, that mirrors, wow, that's really different, that we see those changes. But they're always happening. They're always happening. Chad.
I just realized here that here, not because I'm just suffering dynamic lately around work, but because it's affected my family.
Mm.
And that is really kind of, it's like, okay, it's affecting other people, now it's okay to seek out, you know, help for myself.
Uh-huh.
And because I can't, the secret life, I can't keep it held in anymore. So it's kind of burst out, and people, you know, close around me seeing suffering, and you know, they're wondering what's going on, and how can they help, or scared, right? And it's about work, and just how I can enjoy work, and there's so much identity and ego surrounding it. I got my dream job 4 years ago, and I was going to enjoy work after that point, because I finally found, you know, what I was meant to do. And, and at all the other ways, all the identities and personalities I brought to my other jobs was just kind of magically disappeared. and it's fascinating because I've been in this job for 4 years, and every year I've applied for and been offered another job. And I go through the, should I stay or should I go? Mm. And it's, I don't sleep, I don't eat. Mm. I mean, my just waves of energy sweeping through my body, and just shaking, you know, at times.
Mm.
And it becomes life and death.
Uh-huh.
And so my fourth year here, and I chose another position.
Mm-hmm.
And now I resigned, and I'm just about to start this new position. It's worse than it ever has been before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a right way to do it. There's a right decision. There's a right job. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, you can't stay. It's just, there's no way to win.
Right.
And my wife's invested in me leaving for this new position. Mm-hmm. And so there's money, there's so many identities with myself that sure. The person wants to make more money. But there's a person I just want to do what I love.
Right.
And yet there's a hint of love in this new position too, but it's not as complete.
Yes.
As you, and there's it in like, well, I would never do something for money.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so all these identities wrapped up into it. And then I look at how I did this job in the first place, where it's just because I kept it, you know, secret, that just conditioning, projecting onto people, making up stories. And the stories were always harmful to the human, you know, me.
Yeah, yeah.
And situations created just didn't ego. Yeah. And I acted out of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then those become memories and beliefs, or this is how people acted towards me.
Right.
And so I can't stay here. And it's always become my previous jobs, this is not what I want to do, I can't stay here, I need to go find something else.
Right.
And even though I found, you know, what I was, at least I felt at the time, it was my dream job. Within like the first 2 weeks, I can't stay here.
Right.
I can't stay here another 30 years. It's always projected forever.
Right.
You know, I can't stay here forever. Right. And I'm not so sure about this new position. And it's just, I'm just in a situation where I can't win.
Yes, exactly.
From conditioning's viewpoint.
Yeah.
And recording with a mentor, you know, has been great. And this is where I'm okay no matter what. And then I feel I live from that place, and then I have this wave of energy just go through, and I have my recorders in, and I'm just with the energy.
Uh-huh.
But it's like if I slip for 1 second, I mean I'm just gonna be in bed, and you know, and then I have 2 kids, and my wife. It's like it's just wow, like how debilitating, you know, it can be for me. Like it's really scared me this time to where. And everyone sharing this is so inspirational. It's like, oh, I'm like back home, like where I need to be living from.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's,
yes.
And I don't know what else to go from there, but that's kind of where I'm at. The job starts tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of reservations about it.
Sure.
And I think about calling, you know, for my other position if it's still open.
Right.
And so it's all those just different facets, and I know I'll get slammed either way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And Chad, I'm curious if that deep realization that it's basically a lose-lose, and that seeing through the lie that if this, then this, right? I mean, because that's the lie all unconscious humans live with. If I could just, you know, get my dream job, then work would be great. So that happened. You got your dream job, and it's not great. So I'm curious if seeing that it's a lose-lose gives you any place of freedom in there.
It absolutely does. Yeah. And I know the commitment it's going to take to experience that freedom.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing to bridge, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Because once we see that, once we see that's a lie, it's a lie that anything could happen in my life that will give me the internal experience that I want to have. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, I mean, we have to keep giving ourselves that information because it seems so incredibly real. Intellectually, we can get that. But at least from what you're describing, it sounds like that belief is still very firmly in there.
Right?
Because like today, well, should I call back? Should I see if the other position? Or should I do this position? Because there's some sense of one of them is going to at least make the internal experience better. If not give me what I want, at least prevent those huge waves of energy coming through. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe making a lot of recordings around that, that it isn't going to be any different. Wherever we go, there we are. You know, that this process is going to follow us. And that can seem a little overwhelming and despairing, right? But at least in my experience, it's the good news. Because at least what it does is it strips out the piece of the anxiety of making the right decision.
Right. And when I made the decision to take this new position, of our emotions, and as soon as I decided that was firm, that was everything went away. Like just that whole battle.
Yes, exactly.
I wasn't well in existence anymore. So, and then I was like, then I found some new things about this job where it wasn't what it was portrayed to be.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a second.
Now we're back in the duality, right? Yep.
There's a right decision to be
made. That's right.
But I think that's huge. And then recording, and just because this has been a scary process for me, it's been in my ear, you know, except when I'm showering, and if I can find a waterproof it. But that's not normal for me. Because if I have this, I'm just like, I'm not affecting anybody else in my condition, at least not severely,
right?
At least in my mind. So it's just okay. I can meditate once, you know, every few days.
Right.
And I realize that's not sustainable for the life I want.
It is not. It is not, and that's so critical to see. That, you know, it feels like this is my human and I can, you know, treat it how I want or whatever. But that, you just said the key thing, it is not sustainable. It is not sustainable on any level. We have to pay attention to, this is, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, this is our human. This is our responsibility to pay exquisite attention and to, you know, shower him with care, especially in a time like this. You know, and just remind him that, you know, are we okay right now? Yeah, we're okay right now. Well, but what about if in a week, we're not in a week, are we okay right now?
What about this, that?
Yeah, and we can't have that conversation if for no other reason than because it won't work for Chad. You know, I mean, you got to picture it as one of your kids.
Right.
It's that level of intervention that we have to have. Well, now what about if in a month, and then my wife is going to, no, we can't do that to Chad. We can't have that conversation. We cannot have that conversation.
And when I see clearly, and I see the history of it,
yes,
that it's laid out, that it's proven that, you know, that doesn't work. There's no anything outside myself that can improve the situation.
Nothing.
Worse.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that can seem like a grim position, but it isn't. It's an incredible place of potential, because when we truly get that, it liberates us from all the content and gives us an actual place to work with, which is that moment by moment care, compassion, unconditional love for the being. You know, just every moment, you know, the rest of today, you know, I'm right here with you. Whatever happens, it's completely all right. But what if I have to change jobs? Then we'll do that together and we'll be okay in that moment. Because we've always been okay.
Right.
You know? I mean, it wants to talk to us about material and, you know, what about if you don't have this and what if, but it's such, you know, horse pucky. We're completely all right. And we know that. You know, we know that. The only way we're not all right is these incredible levels of torture that are happening internally. That is the only thing that's, quote, wrong. So when we can turn our attention to that process, live in that place of unconditional love, no matter what's going on, we begin to actually have that life that we want, that's promised to us from the content, but that we actually receive in the process.
I think I get talked into about safety zones, like a certain work.
Right.
This is, I'll be safe here.
Exactly.
And then it talks me out of that.
Yeah.
So she knows that it's like there's, I mean, it's just a house of cards.
Yeah. So I'll say one more radical thing, because I'm sure starting a new job, the voices are going to say, there's no way. But just on that level of what is the most important thing, you might take a look at your calendar and see if you can get yourself on retreat in the next while. I think we have I know you've done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and it might be time to do it again. And I think we have one coming up at the end of the summer here. So just from that perspective of, well, but, and to realize, there's nothing more important. Everything comes from that. Everything comes from that. It's the by far the most loving thing we can do for everything. Rebecca, is it quick?
1 minute. Well, I'll make it quick because that's just such a powerful thing. One thing that dropped in that last conversation was talking about, you know, just can't have the earbuds on in the shower. But I used to put the supports in plastic sheet protectors and put them on the walls of my shower.
Don't worry, it's only 5 minutes. You'll be back at the recorder soon.
Because the shower was the time I would go way off. I would just daydream, and you know, and that would just, you know, keep me present. And and just what people are talking about and the way that I'm practicing with that can be summed up in the word integrity.
Yes.
And we're talking about the moment by moment by moment. And what has been so fun and helpful and supportive is just coming to my senses.
Yes.
So I would, you know, to be in integrity means be doing what you're doing when you're doing it, right?
Yes.
So it's like right now, what am I doing? I'm listening in group. Okay, when the conversation, well, what am I doing right now? Now I'm stretching in yoga and I get to feel the body.
Yeah.
Okay, what am I doing right now? I'm chewing. You know,
it's that thing of where are my feet?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. But then taking it in every moment and place. And so that has just been so rich and so helpful in terms of dealing with that secret life and the colluding garbage that we do. I don't know, I think that's my new favorite word, just integrity.
Integrity.
It's so full and rich and like a life saver, like a life raft.
And you know, what's fun about what you're describing is that in that way, integrity and presence are synonymous.
Oh, exactly.
When we're here, of course we're in integrity. Exactly. We're life. Life is in integrity with itself, just by definition.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Thank you.